Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We are back. It's quarter number three of the Keystone Kickoff Show, coming to you from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. Dustin Hockensmith and Greg Pickle here. We are rolling through our season preview series, and there's not a whole lot of time left to preview. That August 31st season opener against Idaho is coming quick. We talked about wide receivers in the previous segment. We did all the defense. We did quarterbacks and running backs earlier in the summer. You can check all that out at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. If you don't have the Keystone Sports app, go ahead and download that. If you're on Spotify, we're there as well. Just search out Keystone Sports Network. You can find all of our podcasts there as well. So now we're talking about tight ends, and it's an interesting component of Penn State's offense. Now in 2019, it's a group, you know, we talked earlier this week, heard from James Franklin about the depth of the program and how that has changed so much since he and his staff got there in 2014. I would hold up tight end as a really good example of how things changed. This was a group back then. Mike Gesicki was a very raw high school player, very good athlete, which we've seen get honed over time. Now he's with the Miami Dolphins. But he was not ready for a big role as a freshman, but he needed to be. They needed to use him because they just didn't have many choices there. And I think ever since then, even going into last year, Penn State has just not had a lot of choices on the tight end front. And I think that, you know, going into last season, we viewed tight end as a liability, Greg.
Yeah.
And now we have shifted. The emergence of Pat Freiermuth, of course, is a big factor. Him as a true freshman last year brought stability to that position, brings not only stability, but a huge dose of upside in 2019. Just the whole tone of this position has changed a great deal. And Pat Freiermuth is a big reason for that.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. No doubt about it. He's a guy that came in after a year of prep school. So he's a little bit bigger, stronger and more athletic than some of the other guys who come in as true freshmen. And because of that, he was able to mature quickly and become a huge contributor to this Penn State football team. When you think back to it, you know, this wasn't all that different. And I don't want to compare him to Saquon Barkley's freshman season because that's not fair nor accurate. But it was kind of similar in a sense that him and Zach Kuntz came in and you didn't really know which guy was going to be the one to take the first step. But once you saw Freiermuth do it, there was really no looking back for him. And he obviously turned in one of the better seasons for a Penn State freshman tight end in recent years. There's no question about that. Mike Gesicki obviously had a good freshman year as well. But before that, it was kind of hit or miss. Adam Bredeman had a good freshman year. And then, you know, obviously the injuries hurt him until a little bit later in his career. But, you know, Penn State now has a situation there where it has its one clear defined starter. There's no questions asked and anything like that. But, you know, the Nick Bowers hype train is rolling dangerously fast, almost close to going off the tracks. But they really think they have something special in this kid as well.
And I'll circle back to that. To your point about Pat Freiermuth, he will turn 21 years old in October. Midway through the season, he'll be 21. That as a true sophomore, yeah, he's a year ahead. And I think that was a big factor. But even so, you know, there's so much that is put on a tight end's plate. I think to succeed as a true sophomore is difficult, let alone as a true freshman. I don't care how old of a freshman you are. Pat Freiermuth, with that big frame, 6'5", 256, he's listed. You saw on his film coming out of high school that he was a pretty willing and engaged blocker, which that marks a pretty stark contrast to Mike Gesicki. Also showed some upside as a receiver, and you saw that come to fruition last year. You know, he appeared in all 13 games. He made 9 starts. He was a factor really from the jump, especially in red zone situations. Finished with 8 touchdown catches out of his 26. You saw trust build up with him more and more as the season went on. And he was a very inviting target as you got closer to the goal line. And I don't expect that to change at all. In fact, I would definitely say, given his proven ability in the red zone versus the Penn State's you know, I would say lack of prototypical size at the wide receiver right. position. There's clearly something to be said here about Pat Freiermuth and his red zone role growing even more so. That security blanket role with a first-time starter. But with the two tight ends, to circle to your point on that one, Penn State has not had two good ones.
Right.
Since Franklin's been here. I mean, let's just call a spade on that one. They have not had two good ones. Maybe as last year, you know, they got into the second half and Nick Bowers was healthy and started finding his rhythm and confidence. Maybe that started to be the case. Now they go into the year with two good experienced tight ends, but at the same time, you have a little bit of uncertainty as to how the wide receiver rotation is going to go. You have some uncertainty in terms of, you know, what's Penn State upside on the offensive line. They're an extension of both of those positions. You know, they can be the pass catchers if the wide receiver group doesn't come together. They could be used more blocking heavy if the O-line struggles. These are two guys who are very, very important in all kinds of ways to Penn State's offense.
Yeah. I mean, I think it comes down to not only do they have two guys now, but they have two guys who can not only block but also catch the ball. And that's even, you know, there were times in the Mike Gesicki era, and I think we're starting to see this now with the Miami Dolphins too, where blocking and helping in the run game just was not ever going to be a strong suit for him.
If you're indifferent about that,
right.
about that part of the job,
right.
if you are a glorified wide receiver and you don't really have a lot of interest in taking on that dirty work of the position. The lesson I learned from Mike Gesicki is that's just not going to change.
No, I don't think it is. I mean, definitely not. Like I said, like, you know, if you've been indifferent about it forever, then that's just the way it is, and it's not going to, you know, change anytime soon. So, you know, the one thing that jumps out to me, Dustin, is just the fact that I think that with Bowers, you have a guy who's probably a little bit more polished as a blocker than Freiermuth is. Not by a lot, but I think maybe a little bit. And I think Freiermuth is obviously much better in the route running area and going up and getting the ball and things like that. But, you know, are we going to see an explosion of two tight end sets in Penn State's offense? No, just like we're not going to see an explosion of two running back sets in Penn State's offense. But will we see those things a little bit more than normal? Yeah, absolutely.
How would you define explosion? Because I think you're going to see a pretty heavy increase because that is a strength for Penn State. I think having two running backs on the field is a lot different than having two tight ends on the field.
Yeah.
Having two running backs on the field really is a an announcement of what your purpose is. And you can use those guys however, but you get a lot lighter that way, right? Having two tight ends on the field who can catch can disguise what you're doing. Like I think you can go tight end heavy. You can yep. run out of that formation. You can also still, you know, send four guys on routes or whatever. So
right.
I think whether you want to define an explosion or not, I think we're going to see a lot more two tight end sets.
Yeah, I think so as well. I mean, I'll define explosion as I don't think you're going to see them every single drive, single series, maybe not every single quarter. But you will see them, especially against some of these defenses that just want to say, look, we're going to make you line up and beat us in the running game. We are not going to let you beat us deep. We are not going to let you you're not going to let you get KJ Hammer the ball over the middle and let him run for 100 yards. We're not going to let some of these other receivers get open down the sideline. We're going to make sure that if you're going to beat us, you're going to have to beat us in the trenches and you're going to have to beat us in the running game. And I think you'll see Penn State be able to go to more of those two tight end sets if and when those games break out. So, yeah, I think the it turns into an explosion. Again, I don't think you're going to see it every single drive in every single series and every single quarter, but you know, it's an option now that wasn't available in the past and can maybe help Ricky Ronnie move this offense forward. Again, I think the two things that, you know, get off a little bit of sidetracked here, but the two things this offense has to do if it has any anticipation of three things really, being better this year is has to have a healthy quarterback for the whole year. It has to have better offensive line play, and it has to have, you know, play calls that when they look like they work, they need to be executed. And that comes down to receivers and tight ends catching the ball. It comes down to guys making their blocks when, you know, say a 4th-and-5 run is called, for an example, and somebody runs a stunt against you that kind of ruins the play. You have to be able to react in all those different situations. If Penn State can do that, they'll be better this year. And if they can't, then they won't be.
It's, when you put it like that, it's just a perspective that having all these variables come together is a pretty rare thing, right? So Ricky Ronnie, you feel good going into year two. James Franklin has talked about this. He's got his legs underneath him as a play caller. Now he's got a new starting quarterback. If that's not an issue, then you're talking about, you know, new wide receivers. You're talking about an offensive line where you got question marks. Penn State's got a little bit of that everywhere. They don't have alarming issues at any place on their offense, but there's just, it's still relatively unproven. You can feel good about Ricky Slade, and you can feel good about Journey Brown and Devin Ford and Noah Cain, but you don't know how what the backfield's going to look like.
Right.
You don't know how the new look of the offensive line is going to look. You don't know if Jared Parker is going to get the most out of his wide receivers. What you do know is that you've got two really good tight ends in Pat Freiermuth and Nick Bowers. I think they're going to lean on that. It's the Keystone Kickoff Show brought to you by GoPSURV.com, who brings you the ultimate tailgating experience each and every Penn State home weekend, starting with Idaho, August 31st, where you can come stay in the RV lot. You can win a prize for the best Penn State tailgate that weekend. You can get a free 4-9 tailgate meal if you order by August 30th. That can be for the Idaho weekend or any home weekend. Order by August 30th. Every member of your party gets a free meal involved as well. One of the big benefits of GoPSURV.com is you just don't have to worry about really anything once you get there. You show up with your friends. You have your tailgating stuff. You just hang out. You tailgate the entire weekend. You get a shuttle to and from Beaver Stadium as well. Buffalo night game that you might not be familiar with coming up in week two. So that gives some pretty cool tailgating opportunities, including the ability to tailgate and watch other college football games earlier in the day on Saturday. They allow you to do that with a ginormous screen TV. Check it all out at GoPSURV.com. One, you know, with about a minute or so, Greg, what about the future of the tight end position? This is one thing that I think is worth watching with Brenton Strange developing. They seem to really like him, having enrolled in January. You also have Zach Kuntz, who his development might take a little bit of time, but there's clearly some upside there too with him at 6'7", 243 pounds.
Saw him catch a touchdown last week. He carries that frame really well. He needs to add weight too. Not quite as much as Zach Kuntz does, but he does need some time to add the right kind of muscle.
Who caught the touchdown? Strange.
Strange did, okay. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, he's obviously getting some run. Is he a guy that's going to play in those four games and that be it, unless there's an injury or two? Yeah, I think so. But there's a reason they were really excited about him, Dustin. And let's be honest, it's not like there's a ton of four-star tight ends running around West Virginia every single cycle. So when a guy is good enough to stand out in West Virginia, it means that he is really noticeable on more than a regional level, but a national level as well, because there's not that many four-star tight ends, period, if you go and look at the rankings. So all things considered, my thought with him is you'll get maybe a little something out of him this year, but he's more a guy for down the road. If Pat Freiermuth leaves early for the NFL draft, which he'll be able to do after the 2020 season, you'll want to make sure that you are in position to not miss a beat there and maybe still have two tight ends functioning for you. Brenton Strange allows Penn State to be confident they can do that.
Real quick, Strange and Kuntz, is that a real competition for maybe number two tight end role next year?
Oh, yeah, absolutely it is, no question.
All right, we got a little bit more show to come here. Ask Greg your Penn State football and recruiting questions. We'll tackle those in just a moment.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSURV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today. 409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.